Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
It's the Queen's favorite song. She stands up and she started one of those waves that they do in the,
the mosh pit just below her.
She got into the mosh pit. That's why she was having mobility issues. This is Adam Lambert and Brian May from the original Queen. They kicked off this big Jubilee concert that was spectacular, by the way. But it was all performed right outside of Buckingham Palace last night. I'm normally not that much into all things royal, but I got to say, I found the whole Jubilee celebration absolutely charming, old chaps.
Good on you, lads.
What do you mean, good on you? Good, lads?
That's an expression meaning
sounds,
well done. Good
Scottish.
On you.
It does sound Scottish.
Well, all right.
Close to 20, not being able to do accents.
It is an extraordinary thing, though. Jubilee, the fact
years.
That she's been on, Queen for 70 years.
You almost said she's been on the throne for 70 years.
I wasn't going to phrase it that way.
I've heard people have
done
that way.
No, like, that's why I stayed away from it.
I don't know what anniversary it was, but one of my first stations when I was at WMRO in Aurora, the talk of the valley, it was the Queen's anniversary. It must have been, it's got to be.
The second or third.
It was her second anniversary. I was just starting. But it was the anniversary, and he said, my newscaster said that it was, let's just say, 25th anniversary on the throne. And I started laughing.
I'll bet. You
don't think that's funny?
Yes, it is.
That the Queen's been on the throne for 25 years?
Years, yeah.
That's funny. I started laughing, then he started laughing. And he could not stop laughing.
He couldn't stop, I know.
So I have a long history of distracting newscasters.
How well I know.
Yeah. He got in super big trouble for laughing during the newscast.
How well I know.
I got off unscathed.
Yeah, you always do.
But
not me.
This just the anniversary. It's lovely. The whole thing's just lovely. Watching the whole family. It's a little uncomfortable when you see Prince Harry and Meghan Markle not at everything.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's their own decision, right?
They made the choice. Yeah. Yes,
they made the royal bed. Now they have to sleep in it. Old chap, what did you say? What was your
good on you, lads?
Oh yeah, good on you, lads.
Actually, I did hear a British person use that phrase. So
yeah, but you're saying it like you're
Scottish,
right?
All right,
like you're in an Irish Spring soap commercial. Good on you, lads.
Good on you, lads.
Yeah, but I like it too. I don't even know what that means.
Got to cut a little piece of it with your knife.
Right. I always carry a pocket knife in the shower with me. But it's just been lovely seeing the whole family. See those little kids. How about the little kids? Prince, whatever their names are. The one holding his ears all the time when the Jets are
going. Oh, yeah. That was great.
So cute.
That won't be used against him later on in life, will it?
Yeah, exactly. So cute. Just the whole thing's cute. But this concert, as Schwani had mentioned, I mean, it was Diana Ross, you said, was there.
Diana Ross, Queen.
Queen, Duran Duran.
Duran Duran.
Alicia Keys performed. Elton John did something via a recording. It was just one star after another. Ed Sheeran was the closing act. And if you want to watch it, it's all streaming on Hulu today. So, you can
no check. Paul McCartney. No Elton John, though.
Elton John via recorded messages.
Oh, okay.
Elton John actually recorded a song. Sir Paul recorded just a message. Because they're both on tour right now.
Ah, okay.
You know, so... See, are we gonna
and lose? They couldn't come back for the Queen's Jubilee.
Are we going to lose money or are we going to come back and sing for the Queen? And we can't even say she's on the throne.
No.
That's nice. It was nice. And they did it right in front of Buckingham, this concert, right in front of Buckingham Palace. It was really cool. Have you ever been there, Shawnee?
I have not. In fact, the only time I've been in England, Great Britain, is to change planes at Heathrow Airport.
What?
Yeah. London.
As well-traveled as
I know,
you are.
I know. I want to go.
And you have never,
I've never
seen anything outside of a Sbarro?
That's right. The British version of it. And that airport, as you know, Dean, is
it's spectacular.
Massive.
Yeah, it's spectacular. It's a city in itself.
It is a city in itself.
You did visit a city in the UK if you were at London Heathrow.
So big that when we flew in, we were changing planes from Germany to fly back here, and you have to go through customs again, yep. You know, as you're in another country. And
that's right.
It's so big, we got on a shuttle bus to go from one terminal to the next and then go through customs. And then they didn't like my camera, so they had to search my whole bag.
Yep. I'm not crazy about your camera either.
This was before I purchased Andy's superb camera.
Oh,
Andy,
we negotiated a sale.
You pawned that off on him?
I did. I told you not to tell him about it.
Andy didn't tell you that he got it at Maxwell Street.
And it squirts water when you take pictures.
He'll find out.
Yes, he will.
He'll find out. Andy, but Shawnee, the pomp and circumstance and the just the nonstop history that's everywhere in London. You have got to go.
Westminster Abbey, the Tower Big Ben, the rosy red cheeks of the little children.
That's a song for those of you.
Roger
under,
Miller.
Those of you under 90 years old.
We know who Roger Miller is, don't we?
We do.
I don't.
You don't know Roger Miller.
I think I've heard of him. The sing-along guy?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, that's Mitch Miller.
That's Mitch Miller,
okay,
yes.
Then I don't know who that is.
England swing like a pendulum do. Bobby's on bicycles, two by two.
Didn't he have another a song? What was it? Dang Me?
Yes. Hang Me. Hang Me.
No.
Dang Me.
Dang Me.
Hang Me from a rope and tree.
Jeez.
Dip, 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 dip.
Did Shawnee do this during the Indy 500 broadcast last week?
No. He was drowned out by motor sounds.
Did Dane Neal have to put up with this less?
We weren't covering a Jubilee celebration. We were covering an auto race.
I guess so.
There it is.
For those of you under 80 years old who has never heard of him, this is Roger Miller.
Well, here I sit high, getting ideas. Ain't nothing but a fool to live like this. Out all night, running wild. A woman sitting home with a month-old child. Dang me, dang me. They ought to take a rope and hang me.
Yeah, that's enough.
You've got to find King of the Road, too, now.
King of the Road. That's the one that I was
trailers for sale
that's
or
his,
rent.
That was Roger Miller. Roger Miller was a country singer.
Ah, okay. Now I know.
But he crossed over into pop music.
Those were all pop hits. I remember hearing him on the Big 89.
All right. Settle down, Shawnee. It's all right. I've never seen you get so excited before. But he was. He had a few pop hits back. What would this be, in the mid-60s?
Yes, 65, 66.
Trailers for sale or rent. Rooms to let 50 cents.
Oh,
no phone, no pool, no pets. Ain't got no cigarettes.
There you get it. You get an idea. Nice song.
Not bad.
Nice song, and it's given me an idea for something else we can do on the show that we've never done before. Shawnee, you've inspired this. Sunday morning karaoke.
Oh, nice.
I can see how much you want to sing Roger
along Miller. With Roger Miller songs.
Roger Miller songs. And here's Dave Schwann with Dang Me. Gonna take a rope and hang me.
Hang me from the highest tree.
Boy, it's good to be back after a week.
We missed you.
I feel like I
we missed you.
Feel like I haven't been gone. Anyway, we'll play more of some of the performances from this.
You mean Roger Miller?
Yes, Roger. Roger Miller is no longer with us, I believe. Correct.
Well, you were talking about performances from the Jubilee, not the best greatest hits of Roger Miller.
Not the greatest. We, you know what? We already have heard the greatest hits of Roger Miller. But we'll play some more hits of that. But Mr. Miller is no longer with us, though. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes.
Okay. Our condolences to his family and friends. You can go ahead and laugh. It's all right. Laughing is good. Andy and I were at. We hung out last night.
We did.
Without you, Schwani.
I know. I was excluded. Again.
Not on purpose, of course.
No, I left instructions not to invite him.
I don't doubt that for a minute.
In the unlikely event that he may have heard about it and thought it would just be okay to show up. I left word at security at the door to not let him in. There was a big going away party last night for Dan Roan from WGN Sports. 38 years, WGN Sports. And it was a lovely, lovely event, really nice, fun event, a lot of old friends. But here's the thing that was most impressive to me. Every single TV station's sports anchors were there to pay tribute and to say goodbye to Dan Roan. That says something.
Yeah, even former sports anchors. Baker over at Channel 2 was a sports anchor, and I was a morning guy.
Right. Mark Giangreco.
Giangreco was there, yeah.
Who may have had one of the funniest lines of the night when Dan Roan was giving his...
It was pretty good.
Dan Roan was giving his speech at the end. Mark Giangreco shouted out that this was his party.
As well, yes.
Because he never got to have one.
Nope.
really, really nice, nice event. And nice to see you.
Yeah,
and
good to see you as well.
Melina out.
Yeah. It would have been good to see you, too.
Well, you have this morning.
Yep. Got 4 hours together, Schwani.
There you go.
Take it all in.
Yeah, you know, Dan is one of those guys that he never has a crossword about anybody, and he is so real, and he's going to be missed. He's just a great guy. I've had an opportunity to work in that sports department over there a couple times, and being around him is great. He knows a lot.
He is a number one kind of guy.
Yep.
That's for sure. Schwani, very much, you would probably describe very much like me. Never a crossword for anyone. Super nice guy. You'd probably say all that, right?
Hello. Sure.
Hello, testing. Hello.
Sure.
Testing, 1, 2.
Sure, I would.
It's great to be back. That's all I got to say.
Let's just replay the race today.
Case you missed it last week.
Yeah, so far hearing roaring motors is much more interesting than anything we've talked about so far on the show today. We do have a very thrill-packed and exciting show today with many surprises planned on the show today. We're going to talk to Dr. Kevin Most in a few minutes. That's good. You got a far-flung forecast?
Yes, I do. In fact, I was promoting it and you on my Facebook page this morning.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
So all four people on your Facebook page saw it?
Six.
You've been very active on your Facebook page as of late.
Yesterday and today, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Engineer Bob came up with this wonderful promotional idea about talking about the far-flung forecast, putting out a little tease, if you will, mentioning where it might be, but not specifically where in a given state or why we're doing it.
Right.
So that's why people have to stay tuned.
Don't want to give away too much, and a good tease titillates you, but does not give away too much.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what did you say? What was your tease on Facebook?
Today we were talking about a city in Nebraska, birthplace of a man whose invention had changed world history, and that world history event is the anniversary of which is tomorrow.
Johnny Carson?
No. Although he was from Nebraska.
He's not the only one I can think of who was from Nebraska.
Nope.
I can't even think of it. How sad is this? I can't even think of any cities.
I'm not surprised.
Let's see. There's Lincoln.
Lincoln, yeah.
Omaha.
Wahoo.
Excuse me?
Wahoo, Nebraska.
Wahoo to you too, pal.
Kearney. Right? Kearney? Is it Kearney?
Okay, you're starting. Yeah. You're both starting to just make them up now.
I'm not making up Wahoo.
Zippity doo dah.
Exactly.
All right. Well, let's in that case, let's see. Should we take a little bit? You know what? There's no time like the present.
Just roll.
That's how I feel about it. As they did last week on the Indy 500. Let's zoom through this. It is time once again for America's favorite feature, now teased on social media. The far-flung forecast, our weekly compendium of fascinating facts and information. Here now is Dave Elon Musk Schwann.
Thank you, Dean.
Oh, that's Twitter. Sorry.
Andy, good morning, everyone. Today we go to Columbus, Nebraska.
Oh.
Columbus, Nebraska, the 10th largest city in the state of Nebraska, with about 24,000 people, as according to the 2020 census. It was settled around 1856 and taking its name from Columbus, Ohio, where some of the earlier settlers had lived, moving to Columbus, Nebraska.
So, they lived in Columbus, Ohio? And then
moved west.
They moved to Nebraska.
Right, as said, Horace Greeley said, go west, young man.
What should we name
our
city?
And that's what they did.
What should we name our city? Where did we live before? Let's name it that.
A lot of people did that. That's where we get New Salem, Illinois, as from Salem, Massachusetts. Yeah. That's where we get many of the
They didn't call it New Columbus.
No, they didn't. They just called it Columbus.
Same thing as the old one.
But as we said, Columbus.
That's what they should have called it. Same thing as the old one.
New Columbus. New Columbus, Nebraska. Mm-hmm. As we mentioned, though, it is the birthplace of a man whose invention changed the course of history. The man's name is Andrew Jackson Higgins. Hmm. Anybody know Andrew Jackson Higgins?
Andrew Jackson Higgins.
Andrew Jackson Higgins formed his own company. It was a nautical shipbuilding company, and he developed what is known as the Higgins boat, the landing craft, which 78 years ago tomorrow, something like 15,000 of them landed on the shores of Normandy for D-Day.
Oh, the those ships that
tomorrow
were with the collapsible.
Is the 78th anniversary of D-Day.
Oh, D-Day, yeah.
The Higgins boat took Allied
that's the
forces.
Boat, that's the boat that has the collapsible.
Yes.
One side of it
yes.
opens.
The amphibious boats that landed on the beach and brought the Allied forces ashore for the invasion of Normandy,
okay.
D-Day, 78 years ago tomorrow. And it's always appropriate to mention this at this time. I also want to take a second to mention the fact that my friend's father, Everett Booth, was among those that landed at Normandy on June 6, 1944.
What a generation. You know, I constantly say that about the greatest generation. They don't make people like that anymore. That kind of strength and courage,
absolutely,
and especially the people who stormed the beaches of Normandy. All I can think of is the opening scene of Saving Private Ryan, and how horrific that was. Imagine actually being there. People who were actually there and survived it.
Yeah. And my friend Art and his father were able to participate in the 40th anniversary of D-Day when President Reagan was there and had a special commemoration. And Art took some just magnificent pictures of his father on the beach walking and just reflecting on everything that happened.
What was that like? Did you talk to his father?
Oh, I knew his father very well.
Did he ever talk about it? Because a lot of guys did.
He talked about it, and really just I can remember asking him, what did you do a day or two before? And he said, we got our orders and we went.
Hmm.
It was just like that. And that's what they did.
Walking on that beach. After
40 years later.
After the horror that you saw take place there 40 years prior.
Yeah. Yeah. Unimaginable.
Hmm.
And he also they all went into France, and There's a wonderful picture of his father with three of his buddies in front of, I believe, in front of a pub that they once frequented during the war. It's just incredible. But Columbus, Nebraska, the home of Andrew Jackson Higgins, who developed the Higgins boat, the landing craft for D-Day. Columbus has cloudy skies and 65 right now.
WGN 938. Dean Richards Sunday morning, WGN, time for our weekly visit with Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital. Dr. Most, my friend, good morning to you.
Dean, how are you doing?
Doing very, very well. Always nice to hear your voice. Kind of bring us up to date on where we are with COVID right now. It's, you know, it seems like we go up and down and up and down and up and down, and you sort of lose track on where we are with all of this.
Yeah, Dean, and it's good that we do a kind of reminder to kind of let us all remember where we are at. And if you look at, you know, community transmission rates, we're still in the high range for pretty much all of the collar counties, including, you know, Cook and downtown Chicago. As you get out a little bit more rural into, you know, Kane, Kendall, DeKalb counties, they've actually dropped down to medium transmission. So hopefully that is going to be good. Hospitalizations, they are staying pretty steady right now. We're not seeing a big decrease, but certainly we aren't seeing a huge increase. So, you know, hopefully we're getting outside a little bit more and we'll slow this spread a little bit more. And, you know, and now with the possibility of having vaccines for pretty much everybody, will be very interesting to see what happens here, you know, late June going into July.
I would say within the last week, in my circle of family and friends, I bet I've heard about five people test positive with COVID. I don't think I've ever heard of that many in my circle, you know, all testing positive at the same time. You know, everyone's at home, everyone's quarantining. No one's in the hospital, you know, none of the severe things that we used to hear about. Right. But is that fairly common now that we're hearing about things like that?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's really interesting when we look at the community transmission rates and we say we're high. That's just like the tip of the iceberg because so many people are now testing at home and not even, you know, reporting those tests. So certainly the numbers are much higher than they are. Fortunately, like you said, you're getting a lot of people that are having the illness and are getting, I would say, I don't want to say very sick, but fairly ill for a good, you know, 5 to 7 days. So certainly we've gotten a little bit complacent in all of our blocking and tackling, and it's starting to show. So you will start to see more and more people have it, especially now, you know, as we start to have more gatherings, you know, with schools being out, right, and kids that love to spread illness, you know, being portions of those.
Ah, those kids.
Darn kids.
Those rascally kids. So if somebody does test positive now, is the 2-week quarantine, is that still, you know, the regular protocol now for this? Because I've heard in this circle, I've heard people go, well, I stayed home for 3 days. I stayed home for a week. I stayed home for 2 weeks. What's the correct amount of time to stay away from people?
Yeah, really, it's 10 days. You know, 5 days, you know, is kind of the minimum. And that's saying that you test positive, but you really have very few symptoms. And then really 10 days is going to be the key time, unless you're still coughing, unless you still have symptoms. And at that point, it just keeps on extending out. Have to remember that if you're coughing, you know, the virus is still there, the inflammation is still there, and the ability to spread it is still there. And I would say, you know, now we have great medication. So anybody who gets it, who tests positive, certainly get into your doctor, talk to your doctor. Paxlovid has been a great medication that has really worked well. So anybody who is immunocompromised or any comorbidities and tests positive, please get in because the medication will really help you quite a bit.
Are there new medications around the corner? I was at a function where somebody, their exact quote, well, somebody who's really knowledgeable told me that there's going to be a new vaccine soon. So I'm not getting my booster shot because if there's a new one that's coming soon, I want the latest and greatest.
Yeah, so it's very interesting that they said it that way because if you remember, the vaccine that we're taking now is actually based on the original COVID. They haven't even changed that. So certainly they're working on new vaccines right now that are more geared towards the variants that we've seen, Omicron. Just like we do for the flu vaccine, is it going to be what is the most prominent strain? And that is what the vaccine will be. Are we there yet? No. So certainly I would take this opportunity to get boosted. And you know what? If the new vaccine comes out, it won't be until the fall. And I think another thing that they're really working on, which is very interesting, at least the early studies, is the nasal spray. If you remember, we had FluMist, which was a vaccine essentially for influenza. Didn't really do well, was actually taken off the market. Well, now they're working on one for COVID, and the initial results are great. So those people who are afraid of needles or want a simple, it certainly looks like this is going to be one that hopefully will be out in the market soon and make it much easier for people to get vaccinated.
And what's the story on a possible COVID vaccine? Been hearing a lot about that in the news. Is that something that's in the offing?
Yeah, you know, what they're looking for is what we would call the universal vaccine, which, if you think about it, if we all go back to the way back, you know, 2 years ago, we have to remember that, you know, the original coronavirus is a cold virus. It just happened this one mutated and has caused us problems. We've looked forever to say, could we make a vaccine for the cold? And really, it stopped, you know, gaining popularity because the cold was an inconvenience and really not causing, you know, death or illness. Certainly now we're looking at it through a different lens and saying, wait a second, is it time to come back? And can we come up with a universal COVID, which would take care of all variants? And really what it is, it's just going to get down to what's the basic parts of the virus that don't mutate much. And can we make a vaccine that's going to attract or notify and identify that portion? So certainly something that many companies are working very hard on right now.
So still really in the very distant future on that, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I mean, they're not even in, you know, phase two trials yet. So they're certainly still looking at, and when they do it, it'll be a big number that they're going to try it on to make sure that the effective rate makes sense for them to go to take it to market.
Our text and phone number is 312-981-7200. If you've got a question or comment for Dr. Kevin Most, the 608 area code says, I still feel very uncertain about which activities are considered safe and unsafe in terms of COVID, considering the high transmission rates right now. Baseball games, restaurants. I'm a four-time vaccinated 69-year-old. What should I know?
Yeah, it's a great question. And when she's he or she, whoever that is, says baseball games, you know, there's a difference between a baseball game at Wrigley Field and a baseball game that you're watching a child or a grandchild play, because certainly then you control the environment as far as how far you are away from people. Restaurants, I would certainly, you know, still continue to be careful. It's crowded restaurants that aren't spacing appropriately. And you know what? You can always carry out if you'd like. But really, it's going to be, we're just getting back. We have to get back to our basic blocking and tackling for those individuals who, like this caller, you know, over the age of 60, certainly has, you know, comorbidities there. So certainly we want to make sure that we're doing all the simple things and really look out for yourself, because those around you are not going to look out for you. So, you know, that's what we've been seeing, right? So if you feel comfortable wearing a mask, wear a mask. It's going to protect you and it's going to protect others around you. So certainly the activities are going to be ones that you can control the environment are the ones that are going to be the safest. And if you can't control the environment, do what you can to control yourself, which in other words means a mask, you know, washing your hands frequently, doing all the things that we know has slowed the transmission.
I was at a graduation. My little nephews graduated from eighth grade this week. And in this auditorium were parents, grandparents, you know, all people who are likely candidates for anything to be spread. There was just a handful of people wearing masks, amazingly, in an environment like that.
And Dean, you make a very good point right now, especially this time of the year with graduations. You know, think about when we started, we were like, no handshaking, you know, maybe a fist bump or an elbow bump. But now, you got these kids that are graduating, they're hugging each other, and then they're going back and hugging their grandparents.
Right.
And it's like, wait a second, yep. You know, this is a perfect transmission. It's not like we even just went to a baseball game. No, are you kidding? We're getting in close. We're high-fiving. We're yelling. We're screaming. It's almost like a concert and then going back to the home. So we certainly will see an increase because of those.
I laughed at one point, although I guess I shouldn't be laughing because it's not really funny, but one of the little graduates with his, you know, his gown, you know, graduation gown on, walking around, he had a mask on around his chin. It was a little, it was protecting his chin.
Right. Like, that's the kid that the parents say, you're going to wear a mask. And he said, I'll show you. I'll wear a mask.
You. I'm not going to be on my nose or mouth, but I am going to have it on. More questions for Dr. Kevin Most, and we come right back. 312-981-7200. WGN. Dr. Kevin Most, Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital, on with us. And Brian at 312-981-7200. Good morning. You're on WGN.
Hi, Dean. Hi, Dr. Most. I got a question for you. I've had all four doses of the vaccine, and last weekend I ran a slight fever, like a 99 on Sunday, and it was like within an hour it was gone. Didn't take anything for it. Thought I had like a seasonal allergies kind of thing. Tested Sunday, negative. Tested Monday morning, negative. Tested Tuesday morning, positive. And so, like, I have nothing but like seasonal allergy symptoms now. What's the protocol?
Yeah, it's so confusing when you're getting positives and negatives and you don't know what to do.
Yeah. So, but really the timing of your testing is very appropriate, right? You early on, you had not minimal symptoms, but you tested, hadn't hit a peak a point yet where it was going to test positive. The next day, boom, now the third day you test positive. So certainly now you start, you know, your clock starts on Tuesday. So really, you know, by this Tuesday coming up, Wednesday, Thursday, especially if you have no symptoms, you should be in the clear. But certainly watch who you're around right now, because really those first 2 to 5 days, which are kind of still in that window, are the peak times for you to spread the illness.
Right. Right. Okay. Good. I'm glad the four dose, because everyone else I've talked to had like two or three doses, have had it now, has been terribly sick from it. But four doses, it's just like a mild cold. So that's good.
And Brian, you make a very good point right there. I hope everybody heard that. You know, you got that fourth dose. That just reinvigorated your immune system to a point where you have an illness, but you just have mild symptoms because your immune system turned on, you know, as soon as you had that low grade fever, which minimized your chance of symptoms. Yeah,
I had, you know, one of the people that I knew that tested positive this week, you know, said to me, I've had all four doses and, you know, darn it, I still got it. I thought that was supposed to prevent it. These shots don't, these aren't preventing COVID. These are minimizing the symptoms so you don't wind up in intensive care like people were, you know, before we had vaccines.
100%.
Yep. Thank you for the call, Brian. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye.
Let me get to a question here on our text line. How long does the virus remain in indoor air? Is it minutes or is it hours?
Well, it's more minutes, and it's, you know, the amount of time. If you remember the study that we did a long time ago, you had to be in close contact with somebody for 15 minutes, you know, while they were expelling the virus into the air. So certainly we have not seen. Anyway, if you remember, boy, people were taking their mail because they were afraid the mailman had it, leave it in their garage. They wouldn't do their groceries, yep. You know, but certainly we haven't found that that's been the transmission rate. It's more going to be who you're around in a short period of time in close contact than it is, you know, how long it's going to last in the air. It doesn't stay in the air. It doesn't perpetuate in the air. It is going to be one of those where you'd have to be in close contact. So would not be concerned about surfaces. I'd be more concerned about who you're around and how close you are to them.
All right, here is Jackie. You're on WGN. Good morning. You there, Jackie?
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm here. Hi, gentlemen. My question is not about preventative medicine, but I did have COVID early on last year, and I also had pneumonia. And when I was hauled into the hospital, they attached me to all kinds of things. And as I understand it, they gave me remdesivir as part of the treatment. And by golly, at the end of the second day, I was feeling very, very good. So I don't know why they don't. It's a very expensive drug. I realize that. But I don't know why they don't give it to more people.
What's the story on that, doctor?
Did you understand?
Yeah. What's the story, doctor?
Yeah. Absolutely, Jackie. So remdesivir is a great medication. We found that it works very well. The difficult thing about it is it's an infusion. In other words, you have to take an IV. What we're finding now is the oral medication, Paxlovid, is working just as well as remdesivir. We also kept the remdesivir for patients hospitalized, for patients that were going to have high comorbidities. So certainly we weren't going to, and we don't have enough, obviously, for anybody who tests positive. Not only don't have enough medication, we don't have enough sites to do the infusions. So we're kind of selective of how we're using it, but you'll start to see more medications coming out that are going to be hopefully the quick, short treatment in an oral pill that you can get from a pharmacy instead of having to go to a hospital.
Dr. Kevin Most, the Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital. Have a great Sunday, Kev. Thank you so much.
You take care, Dean. We'll talk soon.
That Diana Ross sounded fantastic. The Queen's Jubilee concert that took place just outside of Buckingham Palace yesterday.
I love this version of this song. Remember the first hit from this 1970?
What was
Diana
it?
Ross's version of Ain't No Mountain High Enough?
Wasn't it the song?
It was this song.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah, I remember
it.
You ever seen her in concert?
No.
Seen her many times. She's fantastic. Has always been fantastic. But when you think about, you know, the history of Diana Ross, starting off, you know, one of the first groups of Motown, one of the originals, one of the biggest girl groups of all time.
The Supremes, and then it was Diana Ross and the Supremes.
Diana Ross by herself, right? I mean, she's been performing almost as long as the Queen has been on the throne.
You know, you're not far wrong, really. She started performing when she was a girl.
Only, really, the Queen, Elizabeth became the Queen, what, 1952, right?
50, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, 52,
and
right.
And then Diana Ross came along in the Supremes, like 63.
Yeah.
So, just a few years later.
Boy, she sounded good there.
She sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had a little technical trouble when she was first starting. I guess, you know, sometimes you can't hear in those little earbuds that they put in for the performers. But they worked it out, and she wound up sounding fantastic. One of many performers who were part of this big Jubilee performance. It's streaming on Hulu. It started streaming on Hulu today if you want to see the whole thing. But Duran Duran was out there because the Queen is also hungry like a wolf. It's one of her favorite bands. Now, the Queen was not, she wasn't there for the show itself. She was, what would you say she had?
She had discomfort.
She had some discomfort. And how old is the Queen now?
96?
Yeah.
96, 97?
Right. Yeah, she's not going to sit out there while Duran Duran sings. But Prince Charles was there. He was out there in Camilla. And
full regalia, too. Full dress.
I wonder how heavy that is.
That's a good question.
I thought of that the other day when I was watching, I don't know what part of the Jubilee, and they were all marching, and they came out on the balcony and all that. And, you know, the Charles and Prince William. And, you know, some of these others who look like they should be in a Grey Poupon commercial.
But, of course.
They walk out on the balcony. It's like, why was me? Do you have a Grey Poupon?
But, of course.
Right?
Refresh my memory. How long has the Queen been on the throne?
I'm sorry. I still think that's funny. I know I'm 12 years old. That still cracks me up. And you too, I can see.
Yes.
But I wonder,
and I purposely avoid phrasing it that way. News story. I'm not going to do it.
I got one newscaster in big trouble about 25 years ago with that once.
And after 40 years, you haven't gotten me in trouble?
I could go again. Anyway,
we're going to have our Jubilee coming up.
We are. We've been on the throne that long, too.
I have some discomfort. I won't be able to be there.
Boy, if I took the day off every time I had some discomfort,
you'd never be at work.
Jim Toronto would have a whole new retirement plan. But I thought about Charles, you know, they walk out on the balcony and they've got out these like incredible, incredible uniforms. Do you call them uniforms? It's the proper
military dress.
Whatever it's called.
Formal dress, military dress.
Hardware on it and ribbons and straps and
not to mention probably very heavy material.
That's what I mean.
Yeah,
I wonder how heavy it is.
Call the prince.
Shall we
call him up?
Do you have his number?
Sure.
Great. Let's get him on.
Chuck. Howdy.
We'll feature more of that concert throughout the program this morning. And I mentioned you can stream it on the Hulu.
I want to see that Ain't No Mountain High Enough performance.
That's a good one.
Wow.
And I got to say, Adam Lambert with Brian May, one of the originals from the group Queen, performing the song We Will Rock You. It's pretty amazing. And, you know, it's, you know, Queen performing for the Queen.
Yes.
You know, I like that. I like sort of the alliteration of
that. Absolutely.
As well. Mm-hmm. You know what else I enjoyed? This half marathon this morning? Nowhere near downtown?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Right. Right. It's the
route. You're welcome. You're welcome, by the way. All my decades of complaining.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. All my decades of complaining that they have them here downtown, paralyzing downtown. The last two marathons haven't been anywhere near us.
No, they haven't. This one starts and ends in Garfield Park.
Yeah.
It goes down to Douglas Park, back through Garfield, up to Humboldt Park, and then around and finishes in Garfield Park. 13.1.
Yeah. I've always said they should spread these things out instead of, you know, like killing us here downtown.
All that money wasted digging that secret tunnel from your house to get to the station.
All right, I still use it.
You avoid me.
In my Dean Richards bunker that I have down there.
You have a throne down there?
That I've been sitting on for 25 years, yes. Okay, enough of that. By the way, before we get too far off the talking about the Queen, did you hear about this recorded little, I guess, sketch you might call it, that she did with Paddington Bear? Are you familiar with Paddington Bear?
Oh, yeah.
Paddington, it's a very popular animated storybook character that they turned into a movie. And it's one of the most beloved animal, you know, characters, animated characters, certainly in the UK. But now, because of this movie, all over the world. And the Queen did a little comedy bit with them. It's really quite charming. Take a listen to this.
Perhaps you would like a marmalade sandwich. I always keep one for emergencies.
So do I. I keep mine in here.
So she pulls a marmalade sandwich out of her purse.
For later.
The Queen doing some physical comedy. She's like the Carrot Top of the UK.
About to start.
Yes, I carry a marmalade sandwich in my purse.
Along with a Grey Poupon.
Along with the Grey Poupon. Exactly right.
Thank you.
So there you go. Boy, that was worth doing, wasn't it? It's 10:15. Coming up in a minute, I've mentioned the Center for the Epiphany of Arts. It's a fantastic venue that's in Chicago that's going to be featuring a music series throughout the summertime. But I wanted to just kind of remind everybody about this amazing, amazing new venue, which is available. We'll talk about that when we come right back. 10:21, Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. Last year, I went to a concert at a place I'd never heard of before, the Epiphany Center for the Arts, here in Chicago. And it was the most phenomenal venue that I think I've been to here in the Chicago area. I want to talk a little about the history of this historic building and what they've got planned there right now with David Chase, who is the co-founder of the Epiphany Center. David, welcome to WGN. Nice to have you with us.
Good morning, Dean, and good morning to the listening audience. It is an absolutely glorious day.
It is a glorious day and a glorious spot that you've got there. Talk to me first a little about the history of this actual venue.
Okay, so we're located in the former Church of the Epiphany, built in 1885, and it's on the National Register of Historic Places. It's been a place with it that has brought community together for over a century. Unfortunately, closed in 2011, and my wife and I, who were married here October 5th of 1996, were fortunate to be in a position to acquire it, and our goal is to continue to bring Chicago together for the good of art, entertainment, and events. We have 8 visual art galleries, 4 live entertainment venues, and 42,000 square feet under roof, plus an outdoor terrace, patio, and courtyard. And, we are thrilled to be able to open our doors to Chicago.
Yeah. Now, how much restoration did you do there? Because when you walk into the Epiphany Center, this old church, just saying that it's an old historic church really doesn't do justice to the majesty of this building.
Thank you. I have to give my bride total credit on design. But my background is real estate development, and I've been in the construction industry for many, many years. I'll be candid. The annex, which was built in '53, I've seen very few buildings that were in as rough a shape as it was. And that's where people generally enter for our entertainment and art programming into our cafe bar. That was a complete restoration and modification. We cut various masonry openings in between the walls to connect the historic part of the structure to the more modern annex to create flow. And so, there's this ever-present spirit here at Epiphany. And when you go into the former church and look up at the beautiful vaulted ceilings and the original patina of peeling paint from 1885, we had it tested to make sure it wasn't lead-based, it's actually milk-based. You could not get an artist to replicate something like that. It is just natural. It's beautiful. Yes, we did have to add, new systems, and we had to add, our lighting and our sound systems and all that. But for the most part, in the main hall, we were able to preserve what's there. We had to do some restorative work. Now, in the rest of the building, it's pretty much a combination of complete either gut rehab and bringing it back to the former standards or preserving what was there. For instance, in the sanctuary, which is one of our very, very quaint, and that's probably, Dean, where you saw the show, cabaret-style space, right. Seating for no more than 90, candlelit light, and it's just, yep. That space was just screaming to for live music.
Oh, it's stunning. It's intimate. It's warm. It's you spend half the time looking around the room at the at how beautiful it is. And then when we were leaving, we walked out through the main chapel, what used to be the chapel, and it is just your jaw drops at how beautiful the space is, and the idea that you're using it for art and for music, and as a center for the arts is fantastic. And which kind of brings us to what you're going to be doing there this summer. You've got a special blues presentation, the 2022 Blues Music Series that's going to be going on there, right?
We do, and we're working very closely with Lynn Orman. We just installed it's a pop up we have this lineup of blues musicians, and last night we kicked off the Women of Blues, a pop-up installation adjacent to the sanctuary. So we have both free entertainment in the sanctuary during Golden Hour, as well as ticketed entertainment. And, whether it's Studebaker John, Bear Williams, we're bringing Jose Ramirez, we're bringing in Breezy Radio, Wynn Knoll and the Rockin' Souls with legendary Mary Lane on the 12th. We just had the New Blue Band, which is Charlize Guy, Buddy Guy's daughter performing with Mark Maddox. They raised the roof Friday night, man. Bridget Purdy's coming in this Friday from L.A. and playing with the Otis Clay Band, including, I mean, this is like a historic band that's playing with her. So, yeah, come on. People can come on down. 5 p.m. Golden Hour, 5 till 8, free entertainment. Listen to the blues in our courtyard. In fact, right now we have a bunch of people doing yoga in the courtyard. But Wednesday through Saturday, we have Golden Hour, 5 till 8, free entertainment, discounts on wine and beer and food, and then grab a show at 7:30. It's $20 per ticket, and you will not be disappointed. The lineup is phenomenal, and we have been fortunate to be hailed by Chicago Tribune as one of the top 8 best blues clubs in Chicago. And after a year, it's a blessing. And Dean, I you've been in the space, you felt the energy in the space, you've heard the acoustics. I've been told there's no better club to listen to blues than in the Sanctuary at the Epiphany Center for the Arts.
Well,
and
I just love
to get the accolades.
Yeah, I just love. I love this blues series that you're doing. Couldn't be more fun to come and enjoy this kind of music that is so quintessentially Chicago, in this architecturally magnificent space. The Epiphany Center for the Arts, which is, by the way, 201 South Ashland. What is that? Yep. Ashland and what?
Adams.
Ashland and Adams.
Yeah, southeast corner of Ashland and Adams. You can't miss it.
Yeah, you really can't. I mean, just look for the most magnificent building in the area. That's where it is. To come and enjoy live music or to see an art exhibition. It's great to see these spaces being, utilized so well here in Chicago.
Yeah, if everybody listening out there, if you want to check out the lineup of either art, we have 3 art openings this month, and I don't know, numerous, not only the blues, but we have other performances during the week in Epiphany Hall, as well as in the catacombs. But go to our website at www.epiphanychi.com. That's epiphanychi.com, and click on art, entertainment, or events, whatever interests you. You can find out what our Golden Hour menu is, and it's all the information is there. And if you have any questions, feel free to fill out the form, and somebody will get in touch with you that day.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff there. And I love that you're calling it the Golden Hour shows, by the way. I love that you've named that time of day the Golden Hour.
Well, you know, if we have another minute, I'll explain that. When the sun comes around the south and in the west of the building, it shines through these majestic stained glass windows in the clerestory part of the building. These are 40, 50 feet up in the air. And the sunlight just washes the old historic organ and the mosaics.
Wow.
And during construction, it was just such an energetic time throughout the year. And I and my wife, and it's, man, this is just like a golden hour. And so, as we opened, and we only opened last in March of 2021, and by the summer we were actually active because of COVID. I mean, it was so repressive, as we all know. But we decided to call the time that we opened the courtyard Golden Hour. As the sun starts to set, we'll light a fire in our fire pit outside. But we later learned that photographers refer to this time of day as being kind of an ideal time for a shot.
Yeah.
And we look at it. I'm not saying it's an ideal time for a shot. That's the first time I've said that, a shot of whatever you might like.
Take it as you may, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a wonderfully descriptive way to talk about that time of day. But come and experience seeing the sun coming through the stained glass windows as well. The Epiphany Center for the Arts is 201 South Ashland Avenue, Ashland and Adams. David Chase, the co-founder, thank you for joining us, and we look forward to coming back and seeing some acts there real soon. Thank you, pal.
Thank you very much, Dean.
10:38, Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. Remember this one, the Olivia Newton-John movie, actually that co-starred the great Gene Kelly, now that I'm thinking it as well. The roller skating musical, Xanadu, takes you back to the days when you'd go to your favorite roller rink. Do kids still do that? Is that still a thing for kids? We would go pretty often. I don't remember the name of the roller rinks that we went to on the south side, but I know the Axel roller rink was a big deal here in Chicago. There were many, and that is all brought back in this new musical that is called Skates, that is officially opening today at the newly restored Studebaker Theater. Great to have the doors open back at the Studebaker again. Joining us on the phone line is the creator of Skates, Christina Rea. Christina, very nice to have you with us. Welcome to WGN.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Now, where did you go? You went to the Linwood.
I went to the Linwood Roller Rink.
Yeah,
yes.
That was
South Side.
That was another popular one.
And it's still popular. People are still at the Linwood Roller Rink.
Okay.
And every weekend, yeah. Still very much alive.
Yeah, I wondered if that was still a thing for kids. Apparently, it most certainly is.
Well, there's a definite resurgence. People are gathering at the rink and enjoying the everything that the rink brings. It really is a coming together. Brings people together.
Yeah.
Roller skating.
It was so much fun going to the roller skating rink with your friends, and some were better than others. And it was almost as much fun if you couldn't skate very well. You just sort of flop around.
You were there for the slushies.
Exactly. So was that the inspiration then behind putting Skates together?
Yes, part of the inspiration, certainly. It's definitely my childhood growing up on south side of Chicago, and my days spent at the roller rink, at the fabulous roller rink in Linwood, and also my time spent on the road touring with Jesus Christ Superstar in the late 90s.
Yeah, that's sort of how all of this started, I understand, right? You were you had the part of Mary Magdalene in Jesus Christ Superstar. So how do you go from I don't know how to love him to let's strap on our skates and do the figure eights?
I've always been a writer, and I'd had all of these really sort of vibrant, wonderful experiences as a kid growing up south of Chicago, and a big part of my childhood was at the roller rink. And I had, when I was a kid, I, like a lot of people, I was going through an awkward phase, but I was really sure of myself. And when I got out on that rink floor, it's like I blossomed, and I felt like the inner beauty of me. Everyone could see it.
Right.
And then, as I was a young woman about to turn 30, I had sort of blossomed, but I was really off of my axis in terms of I thought to myself, what would my 12-year-old self think about some of these choices I've been making in the in the love department in particular? I thought my 12-year-old would say, "Chris, what are you doing?" Yeah, so that was the inspiration, really.
So walk us through sort of the plot line, and I'm really curious how you stage this on a traditional stage at the same time.
So the story is, it's the present day is 1994, and it's the story of Jacqueline Miller. She's a rock star, and she's got a hit record. She's touring really on a high, and then she hits some personal and professional complications, and this all happens on the eve that she has agreed to return to her beloved childhood rink, Windy City Skates, to kick off its reopening. So she takes a retrospective journey back to 1977. She meets up with her 12-year-old self, Jackie, and Jackie has a lot to say about the choices that that Jacqueline has been making.
As 12-year-olds will do.
Yes, and the takeaway for the audience really is, if you could go back and you could talk to your 12-year-old self, what would the 12-year-old think about the choices you've made as an adult?
Yeah, so this is really sort of a coming-of-age story.
It is. It's a coming-of-age
almost like
with a bit of a twist.
In reverse, almost.
That's right, yeah, bit of a twist. And as far as the roller skating, we don't live completely at the roller rink. We get to meet Jacqueline's family and her friends outside of the roller rink, and there's absolutely no roller skating in the show.
Hmm.
We create the world of the rink and roller skating, using good old-fashioned theatrical device.
Imagination,
it,
yeah.
Yeah, well, you will feel like the that they're skating, but we're using inventive costuming and movement to get the effect. Yeah.
Well, that sounds really, really innovative and really, really fun. Must be fun to be in the Studebaker Theater. Am I remembering this correctly, that Skates was supposed to have opened before the pandemic? And you had just absolutely the worst timing as you were originally about to open the show.
Yeah, we had performed three preview performances, and I believe we were 6 days from our opening when the world shut down. And we literally sat at the Royal George Theater. It looked like Pompeii in there. If you went in there a year after, there was literally costumes on the ironing board with, you know, spray bottles. it just looked like everything was in a time capsule.
Everybody just dropped everything and left.
That's right, which we, you know, like most people, we thought, oh, we'll be back in a couple weeks.
Couple of weeks,
once this
right.
blows over.
Yep.
So we fully intended on returning, and as we were preparing our return, we were informed that they had sold the building and we must vacate. So everything went into storage, and we are now at the Studebaker Theater, which is, it truly is a miracle. It's just such a glorious space with such rich theatrical history, and we are thrilled that we are essentially the first commercial production to be in the Studebaker in roughly 100 years.
Yeah, that's amazing, because I know the Studebaker had only been used sparingly for conventions and, you know, things like that, and barely, because it was at that time sort of in a state of disrepair. But
And when I was a kid, I would go and see films there.
Yeah,
I saw Wings of Desire there.
Oh, wow!
So I was delighted when I you know, realized that it was being restored to its original purpose.
Yeah,
we get to do it. It's just amazing.
That's the amazing part, because I got to give it to you just for stick-to-itiveness and not giving up hope. And, you know, sticking to your dream of putting this together.
Dean, this Skates is really, at its core, it is about believing in your dreams and resilience. So it's a little bit like art imitating life. And, you know, we've been blessed to have our American Idol stars, Diana DeGarmo and Ace Young, who have been attached to the project since 2018, they are still with us, and they are bringing it. They are leading a phenomenal cast of Chicago talent. So we truly are blessed to be surrounded with such solid, persistent, resilient, and good people.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lesson to anybody who says, oh, you know, I have this dream. I don't know. There's so many obstacles in my way. I don't know if I'll ever be able to do it. Look at you. Look at what Christina has has done. Pandemic, theater shutting down, keeping the cast together. You just were not going to take no for an answer
for
this whole thing. That's very
show.
Inspiring.
The world needs the show. It really is. It's a matter of much of theatrical producing is about where the zeitgeist is, and the world needed this show before the pandemic. Now it really needs it, because it is just a joyful, fun, nostalgic ride. It's just, I'm persistent, but I've also been blessed with sort of the universe telling me, yeah, you know what, the world needs this, so you gotta stick to it and you gotta do it.
Yeah, yep. Well, it's been open in previews, but the world premiere is actually tonight at 5 o'clock at the newly renovated Studebaker Theater inside the historic Fine Arts Building. which is 410 South Michigan Avenue in Chicago. And I can't wait to get over to see it. Are people allowed to wear roller skates when they come as an audience member?
Bring your roller skates. I don't know how the fine arts building staff would feel about people rolling in.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I would be able to myself.
Yeah, it might be a little treacherous.
Yeah, so. Probably not a good idea. Come check it out anyway. If people want to get more info, if people want to get tickets, etc., what's the best way to do all that?
SkatesTheMusical.com.
Very good. It's Christina Rhea.
It's actually Ray. You're saying it correctly. It's an Italian last name, so it truly is Rhea, but we're Americanized, and it's Ray.
Americanized it to Ray. All right. Thank
Correct.
You. Christina Ray, Skates the Musical at the Studebaker Theater. Have a great day today, Christina. Thank you so much.
You too. Thank you so much, Dean.
Lots of you chiming in and reminding me of where roller skating rinks are or were in the Chicago area. Someone asking, did I go to the Oak Lawn roller rink when I was a kid? I think I did. I remember when I lived in the South Shore neighborhood, we used to go to some place. It might have been in the Hegwisch area, might have been slightly over the border in Northwest Indiana. I don't remember exactly, but when we moved to the Mount Greenwood Beverly area, we definitely used to go to the Oak Lawn roller rink. So thank you for remembering that. Someone in the 708 area code remembering going to the roller rink at Riverview Amusement Park, Belmont and Western. Laugh your troubles away. I sort of do have memories of that. Here's someone in the 219 area code saying that they used to go to the Linwood roller rink also for their all-night skates in the early 80s, skating with my now husband. How about that? I wonder how many marriages came as a result of roller skating. But the Fleetwood roller rink is being remembered in the Summit area. And people saying that they go roller skating now at Maggie Daly Park in Millennium Park, the Lombard roller rink on West 22nd Street in Lombard, and the rink in Chatham. So, you know, to answer my question, is that still a thing with kids? Apparently it very much so is still a thing with people going out. And I'm glad anytime I hear about places that are open that require a little physical activity, that require putting your phone down for a minute, and, just having some, good old-fashioned fun, I'm all for that. And it sounds like roller skating is alive and well in the Chicago area. Tim Joyce was at Dan Rowan's going away party last night, too.
Yes, he was.
And he was there last night.
Yes, I was there.
Everybody who is anybody in Chicago broadcasting was there last night to say goodbye to Dan Rowan. Absolutely everyone who was anyone in any capacity in Chicago broadcasting was at this party last night. Tom Skilling was there.
Yes, he was.
Hey, guys.
Mike Lowe was there.
Mike Lowe was there. Gave a beautiful speech.
He did. Brona Tumulty was there.
Brona Tumulty was there.
Sounded like everybody had a great time.
Absolutely anyone you can think of in Chicago broadcasting.
My fiance was there.
Was there. They had a lovely chat.
How wonderful.
Absolutely anybody.
Great sliders.
Was there. What'd you do last night, Shawnee?
Fell asleep on the couch.
You missed a good time. You ever been over to that Chief O'Neill's?
I have. When I was invited by my friends,
the night we Andy yes. and I had nothing to do with the guest.
I know. No, I have been to Chief O'Neill's. It's a wonderful place to go.
I love that.
Terrific
place.
People there.
Good food.
Very
good
much
food.
So. Yeah.
It's, long time Irish bar, but in addition to it being a lovely establishment, really good food there.
Oh yeah.
And
so glad you enjoyed yourself.
That outdoor area. Thank goodness they had, you know, it was a nice night in that outdoor area because it was packed with every single person you could think of in Chicago broadcasting. How was the couch last night, though? You had a good time at the couch? You know what? You watch any good shows or anything?
I didn't even have the TV on. Wow. That's how exciting my evening was.
Wow. Hey, you know what? You might remember this because I was mentioning that when I was a Ute, when I lived on the in South Shore, I'm pretty sure that like we would go
Did
over
they have
the
radio
border.
And TV then?
We would go over the border to Northwest Indiana, and I think we used to go roller skating in the Northwest
yeah,
Indiana.
Yeah, I heard you mention that.
Do you remember that?
I was trying to come up with something. My friend in Whiting might know. I was really, when I heard you mention that, I got on the computer here where you can just check on things,
yeah.
And I couldn't really come up with anything specific, but I can do some checking.
Somebody...
It must have been maybe in Hammond.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
That's what I think. Somebody on
if you were right across the line there.
Somebody on the text line said they thought they remembered a place called the Hub.
The Hub? Okay.
The Hub? Does that sound?
Okay. I'll do some checking.
I don't remember the name of it. It was a very very generic looking building, but when you went inside, it was complete magic inside. You know, the roller skating rink. People, I mean, we struck a nerve here on the text line this morning.
Yeah,
People remembering all the roller skating places that they used to go to. The Hub. Anyone remember the Hub? That was on the north side. It says 4500 Harlem. People, I remember, I don't think I ever went there, but people are remembering it. Somebody here, 773, says the Hammond Roller Rink was simply called the Hammond Roller Rink.
Did they say where it was?
On Gosselin?
Gosselin, okay.
Does that mean
yes,
anything?
North Hammond there. Yeah, Gosselin, sure. G-O-S-T-L-I-N.
Correct.
Gosselin, yeah.
You can be in next year's spelling bee.
Well, I'm not invited to any parties, so I guess I'll just settle for the spelling bee.
Apparently have plenty of time on your hands.
Wasn't there one up on Clark near a little bit north of Wrigley Field? I want to say there was
near one. Lawrence.
Yeah,
what was that one called?
Can't remember. It's not. I don't think it's there anymore. I went to the Axel in Niles, and the also Axel. the Glenview Palladium. Glenview Road.
I remember both of those. Yeah. Never went, but I remember you used to hear commercials on radio and TV for these places. And apparently it's still a big deal for the kids.
I heard someone texted in saying they went roller skating in a roller rink in Riverview. That must have been great.
I don't even remember that.
I went to Riverview. The final year it was there.
67?
Yep. 66, 67.
66
we were there.
Would have been the last
year. Yeah.
They
we were
closed
there
at the beginning of 67.
We came into the city and went there. I remember it very well.
We used to go all the time, amazingly, from the south side.
All the way to Riverview?
We would take the bus.
Sure.
We took the 79th Street.
The Western bus?
Well, we took the 79th Street bus to Western Avenue.
Okay, yeah.
And then we switched and then took the Western Avenue bus up to Belmont, where we would laugh our troubles away.
Yep.
Because that's what you're supposed to do when you got there.
That is correct.
Can you imagine? I mean, I imagine this probably doesn't happen today. Four kids... The four boys, we would go by ourselves on the bus. All that way.
Oh, sure, yeah.
That was a long way to go on the bus.
25 cents?
Probably.
Yeah.
And as usual, my three older brothers.
I was going to say they pushed you around.
Trying to ditch me, ditch me the whole time.
They would get on the bus and close, have the door closed.
No wonder why.
Standing out there crying.
I'm the emotional wreck that I am today. The Rainbow Roller Rink, Andy.
That's what it was called.
That was the one on Clark Street.
Good call.
Clark and what?
It was right near Lawrence.
I think so. I think
Clark
right.
And Lawrence?
Lawrence or Montrose, maybe between Montrose and Lawrence. Something like that.
Yep.
Boy, this has really struck a nerve, though. Now, wait a minute. Somebody said, Andy, I used to skate at Palladium in Glenview.
Yeah.
And we also swam there?
Yeah, it was a multi-purpose facility. Yeah, it had a lot of things going on there. There was a gym, I believe, in there as well. That was a pretty cool little spot, right there on Glenview Road, just past the train tracks.
the famous Elm Skating Club in Elmhurst with the 7-foot-tall Tony Tallman at the pipe organ. See, that's classy right there. When you got a guy on a pipe organ, that's classy over and over. Go to the Hub, 574 area code. Went to the Hub many times. My sister met her husband there, and you could smell the cookies being baked at the Maurice Linnell factory nearby.
Oh, man. Ooh, yes.
That's some good memories right there. See, look at that. Good memories.
Maurice Linnell. Very good memories.
Oh, some fine, fine cookies. All right. So, the three of us participated in the Alzheimer's walk. Was that 2-3 years ago now?
That was in 2019. Yes,
before the pandemic.
And I was showing off all the
right.
Yes, you were.
The deciduous trees
somehow
that were surrounding us.
Andy and I somehow survived walking with Shawnee for a few hours.
At least I was invited.
Again, we were not in charge of the guest list of last night's. You know what it was? They probably invited so many people because it was packed. They probably got to the S's. They probably had to cut it off.
It's got to be what it was.
Now that I think of it, I don't know if I met anyone there who's, well, Skilling.
So R.
Skilling was there.
R was the last letter.
Apparently.
Right after Richards. Then they had no more room.
Apparently they got to SK.
Actually, they got to SN because Bill Snyder was there, the weather producer as well.
Snyder, well. Yeah. You may just have
known. No, you know what? It probably was they misspelled my name just as S-W-A-N.
Yeah, or maybe
Dave Swan.
Or maybe they just didn't want you there.
There's that.
That's entirely possible. What was I saying now? I forget. Oh, the Alzheimer's walk. The month of June is Alzheimer's Awareness Month, and when we come back from the break, we'll talk with the Alzheimer's Association of Illinois. Where are we in the fight against Alzheimer's? So many people are dealing with it. We'll get to that next. WGN, 11:19 would be your time. Turning into a beautiful day here in Chicago. Dean Richards Sunday morning. The month of June has been designated Alzheimer's and Brain Awareness Month. It will be a good time to chat with our friends over at the Alzheimer's Association of Illinois about just kind of where we are in the fight against Alzheimer's, what kind of progress is being made. So many are dealing with this either something which has been diagnosed for themselves or something that loved ones now are going through, and more people are becoming caretakers of their loved ones. Delia Gervier is the executive director of the Illinois chapter of Alzheimer's Association. We had a great time, Delia, at that wonderful, wonderful gala that we had over at the Hilton Hotel. I never heard the final total, but I assume quite a bit of money was raised that night. Was it?
Absolutely. Good morning, Dean. It was an amazing event, and we're still adding up some funds, but I want to say that close to $700,000 was raised for this gala to benefit the Alzheimer's Association.
That's fantastic.
The Rita Hayworth Gala.
Yeah, the Rita Hayworth Gala and Princess. I think my first time ever meeting an actual princess, Princess Jasmine, Rita Hayworth's daughter, who's been very actively involved in the fight against Alzheimer's, was there, and we just had a wonderful, wonderful evening. I'm always so moved when I host any of these Alzheimer's events. Hearing the stories and what people go through who are gallantly fighting through this disease that seems like it is affecting more and more people. Am I correct, or are we just hearing about it more now because of social media?
Absolutely. I think it's a combination of both. I think it's the fact that the association has done a really good job at raising awareness about the disease and raising concern. And so we're talking about it more, and as a result of that, more and more people are paying attention to the signs and symptoms and seeking out an actual diagnosis as opposed to, you know, looking at it as a normal sign of aging, which it's not.
Yeah, and I think, you know, more and more people are just bravely facing this, not, you know, stepping over the stigma that was once attached to living with Alzheimer's, you know, that they are telling people, this is what I'm dealing with, this is what's going on in my life, and I'm dealing with it. So, you know, maybe it's that as well, huh?
You're absolutely correct, and if you remember at the gala, Brian was one of the speakers who suffers with early onset, and he talked about his story and how he was diagnosed and how he had faced this head on. Him and his family were present, and it's also part of what the association is really talking about during the month of June through Alzheimer's Brain Awareness Month, and is raising awareness around the stigma associated with this disease, which for the longest time has prevented people from talking about it. And so we want to make sure, particularly as it relates to early onset diagnosis, which happens in people under 60 years of age, sometimes 50s and even in their 40s, as well as mild cognitive impairment, which can become Alzheimer's disease later on. We want to make sure that that's stigma goes away so that more people can be diagnosed and more people can talk about it.
Yeah. So when should somebody become concerned or seek medical help? Everybody forgets things. Hey, you know, everybody said, you know, what did I come into this room for? Where did I leave my car keys?
Absolutely.
But when when do you say, I better go get this checked out?
Yeah, as you said, Dean, I mean, this happened to me this morning. I walked into the kitchen and I totally forgot what I went in there for. But when this happens to you, typically you can trace your steps back and remember why you came into the room. When it comes to mild cognitive impairment or the early stages of the disease, oftentimes you don't remember. People sometimes also get diagnosed, for instance, if they leave the house for a walk and they can't find their way back home, even though they have gone on the same walk every year for, you know, 20, 30 years.
Decades, right. Yeah.
Decades, right. A friend of mine was diagnosed when on his way to a college that driving with his wife next to him the same route that he had done for 20 years, 2 miles away from his home, he could not remember how to get there. And his wife had to talk him through the directions to the college. He was 54, or he was 54 at the time. That was one of the ways that he knew something was wrong.
Yeah.
And so it's forgetting things that are making it disruptive to your day-to-day life. It's not just your simple, oh, you know, I forgot when I came into the room. It's something that's really making life a little bit more difficult than it needs to be.
Yeah, it really is quite mysterious, isn't it? In my mom's final years, she had practically no short-term memory. She would repeat the same questions over and over and over. But if you asked her, what about so-and-so's wedding in 1950, she could give you exact details of what people were wearing and what she did. She remembered, you know, things from long ago perfectly, but not something that happened 10 minutes ago.
Absolutely. And you know, what we are trying to communicate during the month of June, of course, for people in terms of removing the stigma is what you're helping us do today, which is providing education to folks about. And then we want people to know not to make assumptions. Don't assume that Alzheimer's or dementia affects people the same way. People experience this disease differently depending on when the diagnosis happened, how old they are. We also want to make sure that folks know to continue to show support. Alzheimer's is a disease of the brain, but the person is still very much there. Their brain may be deteriorating, but they're still there, and they still can communicate. They still respond to things. And so it's important to continue to show support. Remember that that person inside is still there.
Yeah.
And then we also want to make sure that the caregiver, the person who cares for the person with the disease, is supported. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to ask, what kind of progress are we making in any kind of treatment? I know there had been talk of an Alzheimer's pill, Alzheimer's treatment. What's the progress being made with that?
So there are several things in the pipeline. Within the next couple of years, we'll probably see a few more classes of drugs that are coming out. Of course, you know about Biogen that came out last year, which was essentially designed to treat the underlying biology of the disease and perhaps removing amyloids from the brain. Improvement on those types of drugs are happening. And then there are other types of drugs that are coming out over the next couple of years. There's also a lot of work being done around a blood test, and a blood test that would help perhaps identify things in the bloodstream that lets you know that the diagnosis can be done a lot sooner. And we know that the sooner the diagnosis, the better the treatment. And the more effective those treatments are in the early stages. So, and this is all happening because we are funding research more. We've funded research to the tune of almost $3.5 billion, with a B, in the past year versus what was merely $400 million about 6 years ago. So the more we fund research, the more we are able to find treatments and ultimately be able to find a cure for this disease. So lots of progress, lots of things, but I can't help but also mention that we've only been talking about this disease for the last 40 years. So it's a fairly new conversation that's
right.
being had.
Right.
And in spite of that, we're making a lot of progress.
Well, that's why I would like to add to the dialogue as much as I can here on my program, so people understand what's going on, as more and more people are affected by it, as more and more people become caregivers to people who are affected by it. I always say the more information we have, it's the best weaponry we have against the disease, arming ourselves with knowledge. People can get more information on your website, I believe. Is that correct?
Correct, and that's ALZ.org, or they can call our 1-800 number, which is 800-272-3900. And then real quick, I just want to mention that the fact that June is Alzheimer's Brain Awareness Month, we're going to be lighting lots of buildings in Chicago the week of June 21st, which is the longest day. And so I'm encouraging you to be looking for the skylines turning purple in support of Alzheimer's Brain Awareness Month.
Yeah, wear some purple this month also, just to bring some awareness to it as well. Delia, it's nice to talk to you. I hope you have a wonderful Sunday. Delia Gervier is the executive director, the Illinois chapter of the Alzheimer's Association. Enjoy your Sunday, Delia. Thank you.
Thank you, Dean.
Once in a lullaby. Absolutely classic. Judy Garland's Somewhere Over the Rainbow from Wizard of Oz. Just one of her 25-plus motion pictures that she made in her relatively short career. Career and life cut short because of addiction issues. The story of Judy Garland's life is a fascinating one, but the legacy that she left us in her very short life is remarkable. Judy would have turned 100 years old on June the 10th, 1922, she was born. So to celebrate the centennial of Judy Garland, the Gene Siskel Film Center is doing something pretty cool. And we wanted to share that with you right now. Joining us on the line now is the programming director for the Gene Siskel Film Center, Rebecca Fons. Rebecca, welcome to WGN. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
So, you start going through the Judy Garland filmography, and it reads like a who's who of some of the greatest films, giving us some of the greatest songs, really, of
yes.
all time. The impact that Judy Garland made in her her short life was really quite remarkable. Don't you agree?
I do. And, you know, even just hearing that Somewhere Over the Rainbow, I think everyone has a connection to that song. You know, whether you watched Wizard of Oz as a kid or with your kids, I get misty-eyed even just hearing it now. Even though it's a song I've heard so many times, she really did make an impact and make an imprint on everybody and across generations. Even after she had passed away, she was still influencing moviegoers' lives through Wizard of Oz and through all of these really amazing films that she starred in.
You know, and you can say that you know, her impact still is felt. Mm-hmm. With the Academy Award winning motion picture on her life. That came out, what was it, a couple of years ago now, for which Renee Zellweger won an Oscar.
I think that film really kind of reminded people of her talent, and also, as you mentioned in the intro there, of the struggle of her life, because it is incredibly tragic. But even with that tragedy, there's sort of this parallel of her filmography, which is so joyful and so wonderful and so full of merriment and laughter and song.
Yeah, which is why I love what it is that you all are doing at the Gene Siskel Film Center with Judy Garland Summer Centennial. That is going on through the month of June and July, celebrating Judy Garland with showing her films. But here's the thing that I really, really love. People can see these movies on a big screen the way they were intended to first be seen, not on your little small well, people have big televisions in their houses now, but still, compared to going to the Gene Siskel Film Center and seeing it up on see these movies on a big screen. You'll see all the films in a completely different way, I think.
Absolutely, and the majority of the films we're showing are on 35mm, so not only are they the way that they were intended to be shown, but they're also on the format that they were originally shown. We just showed Meet Me in St. Louis this past week, and I mean, the print is these gorgeous reds. She wears that beautiful red dress when she sings Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, and it's just, I mean, the texture and the color of her dress and her skin, and it just is really, really a kind of life-altering movie-going experience, if I can be hyperbolic a bit. But it's just, you really, really are, your breath is taken away by how huge she was on the big screen, not just in the screen size, but just her personality, her talent, and the way that she connects with the audience through her songs and through her performances.
Yeah, talk to me a little bit about what you're going to be showing throughout the summertime.
Yeah, we're showing 9 films, really a mixture of her work from as early as The Wizard of Oz to Judgment at Nuremberg, which was one of her last films in 1961, and which she was nominated for a Best Supporting Actress for. And she doesn't sing and dance in Judgment at Nuremberg. It's a pretty dramatic film, co-starring Marlene Dietrich and Burt Lancaster. But it's so fabulous to see her in that as well, because she's older and she's showing her dramatic chops. And we also have a lot of joy and singing and dancing in between those two films, including Easter Parade with Fred Astaire, where she plays actually someone who struggles with dancing and singing, and he has to kind of teach her how to be his dance partner. One of my favorites, which is Summer Stock, where she plays a farm girl who falls in love with Gene Kelly. A Star is Born, which is maybe one of the ones she's the most famous for, and of course has been remade many times over. So it's a great mixture of more dramatic roles, musical performances, comedic performances, lots of romance, lots of singing. I will say it was so much fun to put this program together, and we just are choosing a snapshot of her terrific filmography. And we had so much fun putting it together. We're already getting feedback from audiences that it's just a really, really joyful time at the movies.
Yeah, it must have been so much fun and challenging at the same time to figure out what to put into this, because, you know, there's just so much from which to choose on this. And I think, you know, for younger people, to see A Star is Born, there was a version of this movie before Barbra Streisand and Kris Kristofferson and Lady Gaga. And there was one even before Judy Garland,
yes,
and
right.
James Mason's version of it. It's one of the greatest films of all time, one of the greatest stories of all time.
Mm-hmm.
But to see how this, you know, Easter Parade, Somewhere Over the Rainbow, you know, little girl with Mickey Rooney, let's put on a show in the, mm-hmm. in the barn, you know, takes on this very meaty role. And then this incredibly dramatic performance in Judgment at Nuremberg. Mm-hmm. Boy, you will see every side of Judy Garland in these nine films that are going to be shown.
Mm-hmm. It's true. And so often, you know, both in The Star is Born and then in Easter Parade, she plays these sort of ingenues who have to kind of learn how to sing and learn how to dance and, you know, are a little bit shy. And then see, it's this really sort of magical talent that she has where she has to kind of hold her talent back. And then we see it kind of blossom on screen. Some of that is true in Summerstock as well, where she's sort of this begrudging member, or, you know, begrudgingly around a theater troupe. You know, she's not the performer. She has a sister who's the performer, and she has to kind of come to terms with her talent. So it's really lovely. She's so multifaceted, and her life is so often what we think about when we think about her is her life and the tragedy behind it. But this series is a great reminder of just what an amazing performer she was, what an amazing American talent she was.
Yeah, that should not be forgotten. So I hope people will check it out. If people want to get more information, it's SiskelFilmCenter.org. Is that correct?
That's right. And if you want to go straight to the Judy page, it's SiskelFilmCenter.org/Judy. And all the tickets are on sale and showtimes are listed there for you.
Okay. But you have, in addition to this, you have so much that's going on. One of my favorite things to do is to just look at your schedule and to see what I don't have time to come and see. I wish I did. because the films that you are showing are just fantastic. I haven't watched Hoop Dreams in such a long time, and that's going to be screened tomorrow night. You have, Metropolis is going to be screened, which is a classic, this coming Thursday. You have the original, The Day the Earth Stood Still. Next Sunday, 1 week from today. But the list goes on and on. Please take a look at the website and look at all the great films that are coming up shortly. And again, you get to see these movies on big screens. I mean, it's fun to watch these movies on a cable channel and watch them at home. But to see them in an actual theater with an actual audience in all of its majesty on a big screen is something truly special.
That is true. Thank you. We could not agree more. And also to be with your fellow movie lovers is really, really special. You know, those moments where our breath is caught in our throat or we laugh or we cry. It really is a communal experience. And we're so happy to be welcoming audiences back for the Judy Garland series and the films you mentioned. We're have a lot of fun welcoming new faces and returning patrons to the Film Center.
Yeah, we're so lucky to have the Siskel Film Center available to us. Anything else coming up that people should know about?
Well, we just announced we're going to be honoring Matt Damon as part of our 50th anniversary. Our yearly fundraiser is coming up at the end of June, which is going to be a lot of fun. He's going to be in virtual conversation with Robert Downey Jr., who's a member of our advisory board. So we've got, you know, Judy Garland in the past, and then amazing talents like Matt Damon and Robert Downey Jr. coming to us on the big screen. So we're excited. It's going to be a really busy and really fun summer at the Film Center.
SiskelFilmCenter.org to get more information. Rebecca Fons, nice to talk to you. I hope you have a great Sunday today. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Dean.
20, name that singer.
Is it Smokey Robinson?
Nope. Definitely not Neil Diamond.
No, it's definitely not Neil Diamond.
It's his song, Sweet Caroline.
Yeah.
Any ideas, Andy?
I don't have any idea.
I'll give you a clue.
Okay. Were they invited to the party last night?
Here we go. Wait, listen to this. Idea? I'll give you. Let me ask you this about this singer. Do you think he's sexy?
Ah, a little Rod Stewart.
Rod,
huh?
Stewart.
How about that? How about that?
Now I definitely.
Now you can hear the Rod Stewart-ness
right
of it.
Right.
The See, there you go.
You would never associate this song with Rod Stewart, though.
Rod Stewart felt the same way. He said that before he sang this song at the Queen's Jubilee last night, he said that the BBC made him sing this song.
Huh. Oh, really?
Yeah. You would think that a Rod Stewart wouldn't actually be forced by anybody.
Right, no. Yes. Yeah.
To, you know, that he's sort of at a point in his career that he could pretty much do whatever he wants.
Right, I was going to say, there's a performer with longevity.
And a catalog.
Yeah, he's got his own. He could have sang, "Do You Think I'm Sexy" to the Queen.
Uh-huh.
Or, "Have I Told You Lately That I Love You?"
Or
see?
Some Maggie May, yeah.
Maggie, no, I'm not Maggie May. I don't think so.
Maybe Sweet Caroline was the best
choice. Yeah, I guess.
After all, no, he's got plenty of songs that he could have. You know, have I told you lately that I love you?
Yeah.
Although that's a Van Morrison song.
You're in my heart, you're in my soul.
But he did it. He did that song.
Yeah, absolutely. Did I ever tell you how much I don't care for Rod Stewart?
Really? I saw him perform at Summerfest in Milwaukee in 1990, I want to say.
Right.
And he was still able to kick soccer balls into the crowd at that point because people were actually paying attention and not on their phones.
Good point.
Yeah, he played for about 4 hours. It was amazing. It was actually a great show.
I don't know what it is about his voice. I know people love him. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's not for me. I have the same visceral reaction to Rod Stewart as I do when I hear Neil Young.
Hmm.
And I know people love Neil Young.
That voice, huh?
It's just not for me.
I like Neil Young.
Okay. It's, you know, a lot of people do. Probably most people do. I just don't happen to be one of them. He's no Rick Astley.
He's no Rick Roll, you know that.
Yeah. Nobody's Rickrolling Neil Young or Rod.
No one's
going
to give him up.
Sure.
No one's going to let him down.
You know, and I know you can't compare him to someone like Bobby V, but I mean, he's, you know, he does a great job.
You know who he isn't? Roger Miller.
Or Mitch Miller, for that matter.
He's none of the Millers. He's none of the Millers. No, I know a lot of people like. I don't know what happened. I used to like his songs. I used to jam Maggie May in my car.
Oh.
I used to jam it in my
car. Heard that all the time.
Oh, just playing it so loud.
Stay With Me.
I don't know.
Stay With Me. Yeah.
I love him with Faces, with the group The Faces.
Yeah, with the Ooh La La.
Yep. And I don't know what happened at some point. Just I get goosebumps now, and not in a good way. just another facet of what makes inside the mind of Dean Richards.
I don't want to go there.
Yeah, you don't want to. Believe me, you do not want to
go there.
Do not want to be in that vortex of darkness. people are saying online that maybe he sang that in honor of Princess Caroline.
Well, it could be.
Yeah, yes.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Okay. And that's when the BBC made him sing it. Very interesting.
They made him sing it.
That's what he said at the beginning of the song.
Mr. Stewart, you are to sing Sweet Caroline.
The next song I'm going to sing for you, the BBC is forcing me to sing.
Like, well, what an intro that is. Thank you. So you could see Rod Stewart. I'll fast forward through it, but most people can.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And see it.
I do want to see that Diana Ross. Ain't No Mountain High Enough.
Diana Ross.
Definitely want to see
was
that.
Great. She did like a 10-12 minute set of her songs. She was on. Ed Sheeran performed. Adam Lambert and Brian May from Queen performed. Who else? Duran Duran. Alicia Keys.
Hmm.
Alicia Keys performed at the big Jubilee performance last night. And why? In honor of the Queen being on the throne for 70 years.
And she was also on the balcony Did you hear the latest? This now morning? She actually did make an appearance at the balcony during the final day today. Of course, they're 6 hours ahead of us, so it's now 6:13 p.m. in London. But she did make an appearance at the balcony and waved to the fans there.
That's nice.
And as it says here in the story, and I'm reading this verbatim, delighting fans who had hoped to catch a glimpse of her during the final day of festivities marking the monarch. 70 years on the throne.
Right.
It'll never get old, will it?
I don't believe that they read that like 12-year-old boys reading it like we do.
The 96-year-old monarch has curtailed her schedule in recent months due to problems moving around.
Aw, God bless her.
Indeed.
There is just... Why is that so charming to us all?
What, the queen?
The queen.
Well, I thought you meant on the throne.
Being on the throne for 70 years? Well, that would be interesting, too. But that sounds like somebody want to call in for some medical help.
Ron Brown is just losing it over here.
We're all 10-year-old boys. That's why. Can we have one mature adult on this show?
Why start now?
That's exactly.
Very true. We really haven't had one since Lyle Dean was on the show. And he was really kind of questionable also, to be honest with you. But that's nice. It's nice that she, giving people the thrill of a lifetime, having her come out into the balcony like that and giving a wave. But we are fascinated by all things royal, aren't we?
We are, yes.
Here in the U.S. Is that because of the closeness of the two countries? Because, we like the idea of some kind of monarchy.
Keep in mind, about 225 years ago, we weren't too close.
Well, that's true.
Things, over time, and especially really during World War II, we became very close and have been ever since. For me, it's the history of the fact that look how long this monarchy has lasted. It's a democracy now, but the monarchy of 1,000-plus years. I mean, she and Prince Charles and the Harry and William, they are directly related to the Queen Elizabeth I and Henry VIII those guys. Yeah.
I'm Henry VIII.
I am Henry VIII. I am. I am. I got married to the widow next door. She'd been married 7 times before.
I knew it.
Everyone was an Henry. Wouldn't have a Willie or a Sam.
I'm the eighth old man. I'm Henry. Henry the eighth I am.
Oh, Ron's on the floor now.
H-E-N-R-Y. It's our tribute to Herman's Hermits.
For all you young broadcasters out there, that was a group called Herman's Hermits.
Peter Noon.
Yeah. And the first edition of the Sunday Morning Karaoke.
When we do this at Park West, we're gonna book this at the Park West.
Park West, the Auditorium Theater, man.
When Schwani and I do our Chad and Jeremy tribute, there won't be a dry eye in the house.
Yes, they will be crying out of misery.
People will be crying.
They will be leaving.
We can guarantee that people will definitely be crying. That's for sure. So, anywho, did I say that the Jubilee concert is going to be somebody just texted second verse
same as the first.
Nice to know that you people out there are just as stupid and immature as we are.
You want a version of Mrs. Brown? You've got a lovely daughter now.
Something tells me I'm into something good. All right, enough. Our new producer, Jack, just quit.
Yeah. It's only a matter of time.
Yeah. Jack, are you understanding why most producers only last 6 to 9 months on this show?
I'm catching up.
I'm catching up.
Yeah.
Okay. Sometimes it's 6 to 9 weeks or days.
What was that?
You were saying that you can see this whole concert.
The whole Jubilee concert that was on yesterday. And really, it was quite spectacular. Don't let our interpretation of it taint you in any way. It was really quite spectacular, and it's streaming on Hulu today, so you can go check that out there. So, did you see I've been doing some barbecuing on TV?
Yes.
Been doing some Q And I did some salads this past week, summer salads. Andy, are you eating a lot of salads? Andy's lost how much? 20 pounds?
22, yeah. 22. Not that I'm counting.
22 pounds with the on the Weight Watchers program.
Yeah, on WW. Yeah.
The WW, as they're calling it. And how are you doing with all that? Is it easy? Is it challenging? Is it
it's challenging.
Getting used to it?
It's challenging for me because I am a snacker and I have a gigantic sweet tooth. I think I may have two or three sweet teeth.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the hardest part. But, you know, it's basically learning how to supplement snacks with good snacks like fruit and things of that nature. So I've been doing that. And, we have been doing some salads. So
it's I love it in the summertime to, you know, just make a nice fresh green salad, and that's quite delightful. But I'm here are a couple of the different salads that I made this week on TV. I made a garbanzo bean salad. Garbanzo, can of garbanzo beans, you know, rinsed, and so you get all the gooky stuff, mostly the sodium, out of it. Can of garbanzo beans, chop up a cucumber, chop up a tomato, and then, you know, I put a little green pepper in it, little red pepper in it. I put some feta cheese, although you don't have to because I put feta cheese in everything. You just mix it up with basic vinaigrette dressing.
And what kind of lettuce?
It is so no lettuce.
No lettuce.
No lettuce.
Oh.
It's mostly, the salad itself is mostly garbanzo, tomato, and cucumber. Onion. Oh, I put, the Vidalia onions are starting to come in now. And, I could eat a Vidalia onion like an apple.
They are so sweet.
Aren't they delicious?
They're the best. Yep.
Oh, my gosh. I love them so much. Or, you know, grill one up on a sandwich or something like that. They're so good. But I cut up some Vidalia onion. I put that in there. But it's just basically that with the vinaigrette dressing, like an Italian dressing. You know, you can put more stuff, whatever you want in it. But the combination of the cucumbers and the garbanzos and the tomatoes really make the salad. And it's a meal. It's completely a meal. And garbanzos are pretty high protein. So, I mean, that is really a nutritionally complete meal. Would that be on your Weight Watchers? Would that be allowed on your
Weight Watchers? That is a zero-point food, which is actually very good. You know?
So you can really, like, shovel it in then?
You could shovel in up to, a little over a cup full of garbanzo beans.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a lot. A cup of garbanzo beans is quite a bit. I made that. I made a salad. Check this out now. See how this floats with you. A spinach salad, fresh spinach with watermelon and cantaloupe. What else did I put in? Some cucumbers. Put in some cucumbers and a dressing. It's like a vinaigrette dressing, except I squeezed the lime into it and put some lime zest into it. So it's like very tropical tasting, but like on a hot day, so refreshing.
Have you tried a spinach and strawberry salad?
I'll bet that would
with
be
a vinaigrette and put in some nuts in there. Seriously, walnuts or some pecans,
right? Slivered almonds would be good on there.
That's a good summer salad.
That's a fantastic summer meal, in my opinion.
Maybe some chicken with it.
Put a little piece of salmon, maybe,
mm-hmm.
something like that on there if you really wanted to supplement. But the salads themselves are, you know, just great basic meals all by themselves. I made a bunch of salads, and all the recipes are on TV, 312, on TV, the website, www.wgntv.com. .com/DeanCooks. We have so many sites and stuff. WGNTV.com/DeanCooks. And you can get all the recipes for that. We did some grilled pizzas a couple of weeks ago on TV. I've been wanting to do a smoked brisket. Have you ever done a smoked brisket?
I've eaten it. I never
have. Yeah, I've eaten it. I've never made one.
I think it's a little challenging. Who's done smoked brisket? Anybody? 312-981-7200. How much time do I have to devote if I'm going to do a smoked brisket? I think it's pretty much an all-day affair. I've done pulled pork, and it's like to do it properly, it's like 6 hours. something like that. Is that the same with a brisket? I really want to do a brisket. Anybody who's done it, give me a call. I'd like to get some help from you on that. 312-981-7200. You know what? If you don't call, Shawnee and I are going to sing again. You don't want that.
Please call.
The phone lighting up? I'm sure it is.
Somebody texted in, you guys crack me up. I'm home with COVID. This is the first time I've laughed in days.
Any phone calls yet?
Dean, when you guys started singing I'm Henry the Eighth, I Am, I was already well into singing it out loud in my kitchen.
How about it?
All right. So it's a sing-along show now. We've created a new show. It's the Dean, Dave, and Andy sing-along show every Sunday morning. WGN. All right, coming up, our Food Time show, Chicago Radio's only cooking and dining show, the award-winning All Things Edible Food Time, coming up after our news update at 12:30. We're going to talk about smoking a brisket. I don't know why, I have stuck in my brain that I want to smoke a brisket, and I plan on doing that, maybe like for a 4th of July thing. Whether we do it on TV, I'm definitely going to try it at home first, so I don't mess it up and embarrass myself on TV. But I do have a smoker at home. I have an old-fashioned Weber kettle, the last time that I made a pulled pork, I did it on the old-fashioned Weber kettle with charcoal briquettes long time ago. And you know what? It was delicious, absolutely delicious. Maybe I'll do it that way. I know a lot of people are doing these, what are they called, tagger? The Tagger smokers. Weber has a line of smokers now. I think they're called Smoke Fire, that automatically feed pellets into the smoker, so you can do low and slow kind of cooking. I think that's the key to it. We'll get to all of that and so much more. Talking about grilling, and Father's Day's right around the corner. It's a good Father's Day kind of thing to do. Feed dad some meat, dad-like meat. So we'll get to some recipe ideas for all of that and more, all coming up on our Food Time show in just a few minutes here. On television this week, we're going to be doing some barbecue ideas and things that you can do for Father's Day, and really pretty much for the next couple of months, we're going to be concentrating on things to do, things you can cook outside. When I do my Wednesday cooking segments on WGN-TV Morning News, recently we did four different kinds of kebabs. We did some brat kebabs. It took some bratwurst, cut them up into pieces, put them on skewers with some vegetables. They were delicious. These brats as kebabs were great. We did some Italian sausage kebabs. We did some plant-based kebabs as well for people who are vegan, and we work those out. Those are all on our website, WGNTV.com/DeanCooks. I grilled up some corn, truly one of my favorite things in life, corn on the cob on the grill. That's the best way to cook corn, on the grill. I grilled up some corn. I mixed it in with some a variety of different kind of vegetables, some pasta, and nice vinaigrette dressing with some Parmesan and Romano cheese in it, and made I made it the day before because I like how it tastes better the next day. Let all the flavors kind of incorporate themselves into each other. Did that. So that was kind of an on the grill kind of thing too. All the recipes are at WGNTV.com/DeanCooks. We'll talk more about grilling as we continue with our Food Time show coming up next. All right. 12:38. See if we can whet those appetites a little bit out there with our Food Time show. Chicago Radio's only cooking and dining show, the award-winning All Things Edible program. Heard every Sunday at this time. Now also cooking on television on our WGN-TV morning news every Wednesday morning, usually around 9:30 in the morning. I'm out behind a grill or behind a stove someplace. They're creating some concoctions. We cooked a couple of weeks ago with PBS chef Diane Kochelis from my Greek table. I've cooked with Lydia Bastianich, cooked with lots of the PBS chefs, created a lot of our own recipes. You've submitted recipes to me, and we've done some of those. I've been asking some of the actors and actresses that I interview lately for some recipe ideas, and we've gotten some really good recipes from some of them. So we have a lot of fun every Wednesday doing all that cooking, and love talking about it here with you. As I was mentioning before the news that I kind of got a bug up my bun about wanting to smoke a brisket. I've never done it before. I've done pulled pork. And I want to get some ideas from some of you on this. And Brian, you are a brisket smoker from way back, apparently, huh?
not way back, but back enough. You're talking a minimum of 12 hours, closer to 16.
Okay.
You got about a 12-hour cook, and then probably about 4 hours of resting it.
Okay. So where do I start? I go to the store.
So go to the store. Usually, like most grocery stores, you might be able to order it through, or like a Sam's Club or Costco, they usually carry it.
Yeah.
And you get yourself a full brisket, which is the flat and the point.
Right.
And then trim off the fat till it's about an eighth of an inch of fat left on it.
Because you want the fat in there, too.
That's going to help keep
it moist, right?
And then some people use a binder where you can rub it down with mustard and then season it with just salt, pepper, garlic. That's it, you know.
Is that what you do?
Very simple. That's what I do. I usually don't use a binder, just salt and pepper.
Okay.
Heavy salt and pepper on it, kosher salt and, you know, large ground pepper.
Right, fresh ground.
And then you put it on the smoker at about 225 degrees. Spray it down with a little apple cider vinegar every couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it moist. When it gets to about 165, take it off and wrap it. You can wrap it with butcher paper.
Yeah.
Or they talk about the Texas Crunch where you wrap it with foil. And then you let it roll, then you put it back on, you let it roll for a few more hours until it gets to 200.
You put it back in the smoker?
On the smoker. It's already got as much smoke as it's going to get when it gets to 165.
Already wrapped up in the foil or the butcher paper or parchment paper probably would work also, right?
Well, yeah, it falls apart a little bit. But if that's after it gets to 165, then you wrap it.
Okay.
And then put it back on the smoker. And, you know, some people even will finish it off in the oven then until it gets to 220. It depends.
Right.
You know, instead of burning a lot of pellets and chips,
yeah,
you know, they'll just put it in. But that's why these pellet grills, these automatic pellet grills, have become the rage now, because you can put it on before you go to bed at night. It's Wi-Fi connected. Check it on your phone every once in a while.
Yep.
Make sure the temperature's staying up. And you don't have to stay up all night and babysit like we used to have.
Yeah, the smoker, I have one of those Weber, versions of the smokers, which I like. And I love that it's got the technology, I guess you might say,
right,
that I hooked it up to my phone. What did I do on there? I think I did a pulled pork on there or some ribs. I did some ribs on there. I smoked some ribs last summer, and there's a probe that you put into the
meat. Right, a meat probe, yeah.
And you can monitor it. I'm sitting, you know, laying on the couch watching it in a nice cool house,
watching
on the phone, and I knew exactly when to go outside.
Yeah, now that I'm sitting here with COVID, I called earlier. I talked to you and Dr. Most. I'm sitting here with COVID. I can smoke something without worrying about it.
Yeah, there you go. Right.
All right.
Well, good for you. Hey, thank you for the advice on that. I'm going to definitely give that a try.
No problem.
Yeah, I'll keep you all posted on my progress. If you hear there was a big fire somewhere, you know that it didn't work out. we'll see. No, it should be
fine. Take care.
Appreciate the call, Brian. Thank you. Now, Jeff, you did a brisket yesterday, is that right?
Correct.
Was your time
my kids,
similar to Brian's? Was your time of cooking similar to Brian? He said, 12 hours or so?
No, I had a 9-pound brisket, and my cooking time was 7 hours.
Okay.
A of course, what he did, you know, first of all, I put the garlic powder, the onion powder, paprika, chili powder, and salt, and rubbed it on it, and, you know, cut all the fat off it, put it on the smoker, which my kids just bought it for me the day before, so this is the first time I ever used it.
Oh, wow.
And put it on. I set the temperature for the grill at 225.
Okay.
I put the temperature probe in there, and once it hit 160 degrees, I pulled it off, wrapped it in foil, poured a cup of sweet vermouth over it.
Oh.
And sealed it up so it was really moist.
Oh, wow.
Put it back on the smoker for an additional 3 hours.
I love
that. When the probe hit 204 degrees, I pulled it off, let it rest for 20 minutes. Turned out perfect.
Yeah. And I'll bet that sweet vermouth gave it an unbelievable flavor.
It was so juicy and tender. It was unbelievable. First time I ever did it, and I'm like, great job.
Wow, you had a home run out of the park for the first time out. That's amazing.
Exactly.
So so you just let it cook for the first setting. You put all the spices on, and it's completely unwrapped. So you get all the smoke flavor in there.
You put the fat side down on the grill for 4 hours. And then, like I said, once it hits 160 degrees, I pulled it off, put it in foil, put the sweet vermouth in, wrapped it back up, and put it on the grill for another 3 hours.
Now, about how much sweet vermouth went into the foil packet?
I put 1 cup.
And how much went into you?
Very little.
Very little.
I had some other stuff.
He didn't say none.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, it was a great gift for Father's Day. And
yeah, that's great.
And I hit a home run, like you said.
That's fantastic. Now, I've heard, you know, as our previous caller, Brian, he was basting with apple cider vinegar. I think I like the sweet vermouth upgrade here a little bit.
It really makes it juicy.
That sounds
good. It really turned out great.
Really good. All right, I'm going to definitely give that a try, Jeff. I appreciate your call. Thanks, my friend.
Not a problem. Thank you.
I love this. We got a lot of brisket cookers out here. I see Troy is on the line at 312-981-7200. Troy, you're on WGN. Hello, my friend.
Hello, how are you doing?
Doing very well.
I did one last weekend on a smoke fryer of all things, the EX6.
Okay. Yeah, I think that might be the one that I have. Isn't that grill amazing that it automatically feeds these pellets in, so when the fire begins to die down, it knows when to start feeding these pellets in automatically, so you don't have to do anything. And it's got yours has the technology, right, so you can Bluetooth it with your phone, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I did it. I love the thing. It's a great little smoker. But I did it on the top shelf of the EX6.
Right.
I seasoned it up with salt, pepper, garlic, and a little bit of onion flakes.
Okay.
Beforehand, and a little bit of a coffee rub.
Coffee.
I put on top of it, which gave it a deep color.
Yeah.
Deep, dark color. And did it at 200. Put it on at 9 at night, and I didn't even look at it until 9 in the morning.
No kidding. You set it and went to bed.
Well, I kept waking up to make sure the smoker was still running. There were no issues. But
the house wasn't on fire. Yeah.
Yeah. And I put a pan underneath it to catch any drippings.
Drippings, right. Yeah, okay. All right.
And it came out great, and after at 9 in the morning, I checked it, and I let it go till... It was about 180 where the bark was nice and dark,
yeah,
right where I wanted it.
Right.
And I put it in a foil boat where you foil the bottom around it and you foil it halfway up. So that way the top still gets colored and the bark still develops as it finishes the smoke.
Okay. All right. And then how much longer did you leave it on that way?
It was on for 16 hours total.
16 hours total. Wow.
And it came, and I let it rest. The big thing is you got to let it rest for at least 2 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, you got
to let it. And I let it rest for about 2 hours, and I wanted to let it rest more, but it took a little bit longer to cook than I thought it would.
Yeah. Well, you know, resting it like that is redistributing all the juices in it, so it's evenly moist when it's done. Did you baste it with anything during that cooking process?
I use a bourbon and Coke.
Oh, okay. That's
You spritz that on it. After I looked at it, I spritzed it because it was getting a little dry. So I did that and did that maybe 2-3 times. And once I wrapped it in the foil boat, I spritzed it one more time and let it run out until it was done.
Love that. The bourbon and Coke, that is a really good idea. I think Jack Daniels,
came out awesome.
If I'm not mistaken, I think Jack Daniels has got some recipes for, you know, for doing pulled pork, for doing brisket. You know, incorporating Jack Daniels into some of the bastes and sauces and marinades. The alcohol cooks off, but it leaves a really nice flavor, especially in something
it gives it
like
that
a brisket.
Deep, dark, that deep flavor that's so, you can't, it helps. It's a layer of flavor that also adds to the smoke, and it's real good.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Well, you guys, I appreciate all your help. You guys have inspired me, and I'm going to give it a try. We'll keep everybody posted on how it went. I hope you have a great Sunday today. Troy, thank you for the call.
Thank you.
All right. So when we come back from the break, I'm going to open up the phone lines. We have one of these $100 gift cards for the Barbecue Authority in Lyle, barbecueauthority.com, if you want to shop or learn more. But really nice gift, right? $100 gift card for whoever gives me the best grilling recipe on the phone line. Give us a call. Give us a fantastic recipe. If we choose yours as the most fantastic recipe, we're going to give you that $100 gift card. 312-981-7200 next. WGN. All right, 1254. A lot of you on our text line asking what kind of pellets are we talking about? They sell them at hardware stores, big box stores, where they sell the charcoal, these little pellets that are a combination of the wood that create the smoke and also the heat source. So if you just go to the store and look for some of these smoker pellets, you'll know what we're talking about. Mary, producer Jack tells me that you've got a fantastic recipe.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm doing very well. What's your recipe?
Well, I'm actually making it right now. It's pork tenderloins and bourbon.
Mm.
And it's super simple, and that's why I love it. My kids love it.
You had me at bourbon, but go ahead and tell me the recipe.
Yeah, I heard you talking about the Jack Daniel's, so that's what made me think of it. So, but it's a quarter cup soy sauce, quarter cup bourbon, 2 tablespoons brown sugar, and then you got like 3 pounds of pork tenderloin and garlic. And that's it.
You marinate it? You marinate the pork in that mixture?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've had my marinating since last night.
Okay. So you marinate and then just toss it on
and
the grill?
And then you grill it at 325 until it reaches 160. And that's it.
I love pork tenderloin on the grill. It's such a great piece of meat. It's low fat, by the way, also. You said pork tenderloin.
Oh, no. And as we speak, I'm making a bok choy salad to go with it.
Oh, fantastic. That sounds really good.
So bok choy salad and then spicy Asian noodles, and that's my go-to meal. So
I think that definitely has earned you that $100 gift card from
That's wonderful of you. And can I just tell you really quick, when you were playing Judy Garland, it made me so miss my mom because I don't know if you remember in the days when you used to have like 3 channels on TV.
Right.
And my mom and I used to watch an old movie on Sunday afternoons.
Yeah. Yeah, and see some of those great old Judy Garland classics.
It. And
right?
It just made me, I was like sitting there and I'm like, and plus you got Henry VIII in my head.
Right. Well, that's going to be part of our new show that we're going to be, you know, touring around America. Our new Henry.
And that song just like will stick with you all day long.
Right.
And you guys actually sounded pretty good, but now I keep saying second verse.
Same as the first. Exactly right.
I mean, gosh, you know, because like I'm close to your age and it's like, my brothers used to have that, like, playing all the time.
I had the 45 myself. Hey, listen, hang on for a second because I want to get you this $100 gift card from Barbecue Authority in Lyle. Visit bbqauthority.com to shop and learn more. And, Mary, I hope you have a wonderful Sunday. Enjoy your pork tenderloin.
Oh, thank you.